PFT Media.
Hey, everybody. Frank Catania from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And you are listening, all right, to the informative, the incredible, all right, and the fun Housewives podcast you will ever listen to. That's right. The Real Housewives of Reality with Scarlett, Caitlin, and Leon. You listen to The Real Housewives of Reality with Scarlett, Caitlin, and Leon, and you're going to get the scoop about everything, everything Real Housewives.
I'm not the hero you wanted, but I'm the hero that you got.
Housewives aren't the real stars. House husbands are.
I can't fix stupid, but I can give it a court date.
Keeping it real with the Real Housewives of Reality, Scarlett, Caitlin, and Leon. Are we ever going to be able to record a podcast again? Because these dogs are going to just drive us nuts?
Yeah.
No.
No. Why are you so tired and cranky?
Tired.
From what?
I've been working at Seattle Grace Hospital all weekend.
First of all, yeah, thanks, Lauren. You're the worst.
Oh, did you guys get new jobs?
Yeah, I work at Seattle Grace. I am in the cast of Grey's Anatomy.
What have you time traveled to start back on season 1 and 2? You've been watching them nonstop.
So good.
It's the only TV show that we can put on. I can play on my phone, and you never complain about me being on my phone while you're watching that show.
Last night, Caitlin, I was watching an episode in bed. Your uncle was going to Hogwarts, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I had a reaction to something that happened on the show. He comes running and goes, who died? What's happening? And then he laid in bed and watched two more episodes with me before OP Live came on.
Okay, I ran in there and said, what's going on?
No, you said, no, you yelled, who died? Because I told you, I have a feeling somebody is going to die. And while I was getting my food, and then you came, you first thing you said was, who died?
Did someone die?
Yes.
I don't recall. Somebody dies on every episode.
Every episode, but you know what? That's fine.
Listen, I don't...
Like the patients or the characters?
Yes.
Both.
Because I haven't actually watched Grey's Anatomy.
Spoiler alert, you know she's going to retire watched. In 19 seasons.
Hey, don't
season.
Ruin everything. I'm only on season 2.
She's leaving the hospital, just so you know. Thanks, Lauren.
Oh,
you're
no, you just found out?
Yeah, but are we... Is this a Seattle Grace podcast?
Seattle Grace, you mean... Grey's Anatomy?
Well, whatever. Is it that podcast?
Or it's another TV show.
What? We laid that up for you.
100%. No,
What are you talking about, Caitlin? What TV show? I can't introduce the show we're talking about until the intro comes in when you go, hi, welcome to Real House of Reality.
Welcome to Real House of Reality. We have no idea what we're doing. We're your hosts. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Leon. I know what love is. And apparently had a podcast, and they don't.
I'm Caitlin, and I was trying really hard not to talk over it.
That's what she said. Yeah.
Where is this happening? Across the river in Jersey. Everything is legal in New Jersey. All right.
All right.
I guess that's what you want to play, but are we ready for that?
See, the thing is, they're going to hear...
I'm always ready.
No, like, pauses, and it's going to make no sense that we had very long... pauses where we're all looking at each other like we are in a standoff, Spider-Man standoff, with our guns and
our webs.
In our webs. So there's that.
Okay. I don't know what's happening right now.
It was a Spider-Man standoff. And that's it. Okay.
Very, very big disclaimer and spoiler for everybody. I cannot stand Teresa Giudice and her kids. They're the worst.
We'll get
people.
To that.
Oh my God. They're evil.
And Louis are the worst.
Teresa's
the worst.
Fucking delusional. Like, delusional.
You know, can we also, she's like, Melissa brought up the engagement party. No. Margaret did.
Yeah. Teresa will do anything to blame somebody else for something that she did. She will even, I don't know, make up alternative facts about it. And turn around and tell it to her children and fiance like Melissa's some massive bad guy.
I mean, she did break up the family, but I mean, that's a whole other episode.
But how insulting is it to go, well, do you want to be a bridesmaid?
And Melissa's a liar, obviously.
Yeah. Which Melissa's like, no, it's like going back to the
guy. Oh, I was so proud of Melissa.
Me too. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know if you should be proud, but you know, it is
what it is. I am proud of Melissa. She fucking stood up for herself. She's like, fuck you. I'm not going to be in your fucking wedding.
Oh, I was proud of her.
Yeah.
I mean, I was proud of her too. Yeah. But, I mean, Teresa's a terrible human being to begin with.
Yeah. Well.
And I actually enjoyed the idea of Melissa finally not just being a doormat in that conversation at that party and saying, hey, this is actually what happened. We were sitting somewhere else. If you wanted us at your table, you would have sat us there.
Yeah.
When somebody creates a seating chart, just for the simple folks out there.
Oh.
I'm talking to Teresa because I know she listens.
Oh, yeah. We know you're listening, Teresa.
You created a seating chart. And you intentionally did not put somebody at your table. They didn't just get there and decide,
yeah,
oh, I'm going to sit somewhere
else
today.
It's a good day to start a family rift. Let's do it.
Right. Teresa's not afraid of a fight. So we know that if Teresa actually wanted them there, she would have moved people that needed to be moved and would have made it happen.
Of course.
She would have been like, oh, well, get a bigger table.
Yeah.
Like, Teresa would not, if it was something she cared about, like if she got separated from Louie or her kids, she would have, you know, come hell or high water, would they be sitting at a different table?
Right.
Yeah. And if, you know, and you know, we'll get later into it when Joe is talking and how he's hurt. And then when they talk about it, we'll get into all that. So
when the next scene is when Frank is going over to do his calendar shoot, right? And he had the can of Pam spray cooking oil. I said to Leon, please tell me he's not using this on himself. Cut to him spraying Pam on himself. I was like, oh my God.
It was so he could glisten for the
camera. No, I understand it, but I was like, it's just weird. It's like you're spraying yourself with cooking spray. Yeah. Look, I've never seen a sexier Easter Bunny.
Hey, but it's not bad for your body.
You. No, it's not. I've never seen a sexier Easter Bunny, honestly. Let's just get that straight.
I will say this, too. I actually, I think Paulie's peacocking a little bit. I think Frank is a lot more passive, and all he's trying to say is Dolores is essentially his best friend.
Yeah.
And I think Paulie is very threatened by the relationship after everything that they've been through. Maybe. But I think he doesn't realize that Frank, that's the mother of his kids, and he wants to protect it. It took him a long time to get to where they are.
Yeah.
And I don't think Big Frank has any romantic feelings for Dolores.
No, but I can also tell he's just not a big fan of change, unless it's change he's making.
Right.
Like, he's okay with him changing.
Sure.
But he's not okay with his dynamics changing.
Yeah, and
which I feel is pretty natural, honestly. I don't think there's many of us that do like it. But this is a little bit, I think, a little too clingy.
Yeah, I think he is.
And I love you, Frank. I know you listen.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We know Frank.
He does listen. We do love you, but
I don't know. I think Paulie's just peacocking a little too much.
Yeah.
And he, you know, basically, and I look at it this way.
Well, so
if he's going to go into a relationship, Paulie, with Dolores, he knows the relationship they have and they've been filming for years and been doing all of this. He's not oblivious to this show. Can't be. And if he is, you're an idiot. But, you know, Mr. Potato Head and Buzz didn't like each other in the beginning either. Then they became pretty good friends.
Well, I think, too, like, Frank and Dolores got in a really good rhythm.
Yeah.
And Frank was so close with David.
Yeah.
But David also just didn't, you know, it's clear to see that David didn't value Dolores as much as Paulie values Dolores.
Right.
So David was happy to have Frank doing the things that David didn't want to do. And Paulie's like, I think he was, you know, like, you know, David didn't want to go to the social gatherings. David didn't want to film.
Right.
So he was happy for Frank to fill that void that David didn't have to fill. He was like, oh, I don't have. What?
Oh, I was going to say, do you think maybe Frank is like kind of like, ooh, I don't want to get too close to Paulie because I got real close to David and that didn't work out.
No.
You don't think it's like
that?
That.
No.
Because he's still close to David.
That's true.
So it didn't negatively impact the relationship with David. I think he just was like, he's like, I didn't have his phone number. How else was I supposed to get in touch with him?
Yeah, that didn't set well like, with me when he's like sending a woman to do a man's job. What the fuck are you talking about, Buzz?
That's where I think
it literally took me
Go ahead, Caitlin.
It took me until Frank was like, I didn't have his number, for me to figure out what he meant.
Right.
Like it was so off the, like,
it was weird.
You know, out of left field that I was like, wait, did I miss something? Was there like a man's job I missed?
Yeah, it was weird.
No, Dolores should be the secretary, in the sense, not that women should be the secretary, but like, Dolores should be the one making the quote unquote appointment
Yeah, I mean, look, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So it's not a man. Yeah, like you were, you said, it's like, oh, what are you going to look him up in the phone book and just like, ding dong, hey, buddy. You know, that's weird. What are we in the 1900s?
That's the common denominator, right, is Dolores. It should be Big Frank going, hey, just let him know I'd love to talk to him.
Right.
You know, give him
Open
my number.
The door.
Right, give him my number or whatever. Instead of Dolores just giving Frank the number, it should be a conversation that Dolores has with Polly saying, hey, you understand our dynamic, Frank and I. He would love to sit and talk with you. Here's his number. Reach out. If Dolores doesn't do that, it's not Big Frank not being a man and going straight to Polly. It's, I don't know.
It's kind of like that annoying work thing where you get like this email out of nowhere, right? And it's someone talking to you as if you're a stranger. And they say, I just did this so you can, and I copied so-and-so in on it so that you guys can have an open line of communication. You can introduce each other. It's like, okay. But you kind of need that in that situation, because how would you know about this person any other way if they're not like directly standing next to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it was just Paul being like, mm-hmm. But like,
I feel like he does
that
a lot.
Random thing. And like, but I'm sure it's just growing pains.
I'm sure.
And I'm sure they're all going to come out in the end, because as much as Frank wants the dynamic to either stay the same or evolve together, so does Dolores.
Yeah.
She likes having her family close, because I mean, if there's a division between Frank and Dolores, there becomes a division between Frank, Dolores, and the kids. And we literally see, you know, little Frankie come out to finish spraying his dad with the pan oil.
Girl, it was like fantasy.
Oh, so no. Hot.
You're old enough to be his mother.
I don't give a fuck.
You're creepy.
It's just, you can't have a fantasy with dad and son. That's weird.
Why?
I mean, I could have fantasies with plenty of mothers and daughters. So, I mean, if she can have
men can do it, why can't I?
I don't think men should do it. That's weird.
Well, do you
listen,
know?
I don't kink shame nobody.
Yeah, yeah. Caitlin, what are you kink
Damn,
shaming
Caitlin?
People for? God, you know, we did not.
Next thing you're going to tell me, you don't like charcuterie.
Oh.
Okay.
You know, I was about to say, this episode did not feature any charcuterie.
None.
Of all the food that was there, not any charcuterie
boards. One charcuterie. Not one. But I will say, Jackie, I'm putting you on notice. There ain't nothing wrong with wearing your pants, your shorts out of the hamper. Not one thing wrong with it. Just saying.
Yeah, it is bad. Don't do
Unless
it.
You're going to film.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, well, that was just a choice, okay? That was just a Daniel not Jonas choice.
Apparently, I'm supposed to iron my clothes as well before I go to work.
Ah, bullshit. If they're looking at your clothes, you're not doing a good enough job at your job.
Right.
Do your job.
And you know what? Danielle Not Jonas wasn't doing a good enough job at her job.
Truth. She did look like a hot mess. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, she is a... God. Okay. Doesn't look like one. She is a hot mess.
Let me tell you something, though. Rachel, the other new girl, Rachel...
Fuda.
No, not Fuda. No.
Okay. That's her name.
But Rachel. Rachel's not Fuda.
Rachel's Fuda.
Yeah, Rachel's Fuda.
Is Rachel Fuda?
Because... Yep.
Yeah, with the husband small
with the face.
Jar.
The face I don't like.
The husband has the small jaw
and the Sharpie beard. Yes.
Yep.
Her daughter, Gianella, looks just like my good friend Lauren's daughter, Alora. She's
oh my God,
fucking
Lauren
so
this,
adorable.
Lauren that. Lauren. I'm tired of hearing about Lauren.
No, you're not. You're glad because you watch Grey's Anatomy now.
She leaves unwarranted opinions that we
don't You know
what
your uncle said
for.
To me? Look, he's like, you're going to be working and you're going to put on Grey's Anatomy and you're going to get to watch all these shows. And I got to come home and ask, what did I miss?
Yeah, that sounds like a married people thing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I hate this show.
Gianella, look, they showed a photo of like the two daughters and they look like clones. Cause like
so cute.
And usually you get like siblings look alike because, I mean, it makes sense. But it's always like mind-blowing to me when siblings look so much alike.
Like, yeah.
And they did. Exact same face. Like, I was cute. Like, wait, what?
Scarlett and her sister look identical.
It's almost like we're twins.
Oh my, it's almost as if they're twins.
Yeah it's weird, right? You know what's another weird thing? Gia, eat at a fucking table.
Wait. Oh, no. That wasn't weird.
I clearly
actually was like,
don't really want to be around.
She's
I was like, oh, wait, I like that situation, I should do that.
No.
Yeah, but I didn't mind it. But did you see all the mess that she had around it?
Fuck.
No one spills that much salad when they eat it on the outside.
Clearly Gia does.
Well, she doesn't have to worry about wasting food.
Oh, God.
But wait, back to the daughter's thing, yeah. though, with... I thought it was really awesome of Rachel to talk about her struggles with infertility.
Oh, I know.
It's tough. It's a really tough, but it was just nice to see somebody being open about it and not in like a felt forced way. It was
not
just
in
like
a Diana way from Beverly Hills, but in an actual real way.
Right. Like this is what I'm feeling in this moment. And it was nice to see her because I feel like a lot of times when we see women on these shows talk about difficult things, they feel forced. Right. Like it was really nice to see Jackie saying like, hey, I'm doing really well with my eating. Right. And it wasn't like a forced PSA kind of way. It was like, this is a thing that's in my life that I talk about. And it's nice when we get those moments of it genuineness. And
yeah.
So that was really sweet.
I just have a hard time with the topic for me. You know what
right.
I mean?
And that's understandable.
But I respect
but it was
everything that she's gone through. And I don't necessarily agree with her take that it's not really up to her husband about them having another one, blah, blah, blah. Like he hasn't, you're right. He didn't grow the baby. He didn't give birth to the baby, all that. I get that. But I think that if he says he's not at a point where he's ready, I don't think that's something that should be pushed.
I actually appreciate that in society. Cause I'm not saying that in society, a woman, you know, is more maternal and does things, you know, I work in a female dominated field and everybody seems to think that men can't be caregivers or make choices. It's not up to them. And every decision when it comes to child should include the man and the wife or, you know, obviously
not all of them, but yeah,
I think they all should.
It seemed like something they'd already discussed and she was just bringing it up again.
Cause right.
she said they had the 5 remaining embryos. I'm sure they talked about it. It didn't seem like it was, do we have another child? It was
when?
What's the timeline?
Yeah. And he was like, I don't want nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Cause he probably didn't want to have they're getting used to being on camera.
Yeah.
Like realistically, he's probably not going to have a say in this. And that seems like their dynamic is probably fine with them. Yeah. I think everybody, it's also different, I think, when you have money because the conversation isn't, can we afford the other child?
Right.
Do we have time to take care of the child?
Right.
It's just, when you have money and resources, it's do we have the love to go around? And the answer is they do, they will have another child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's
I
funny, though.
Kids,
I always joke.
You know.
Stop.
I always joke at work because, like, one of my coworkers, my friend, she's always like, no, like, he needs to have a real job. But I'm like, here's the deal. If I make enough money that I can afford to pay for anything, if my husband wants to be a stay-at-home husband or stay-at-home dad. No,
yes.
He can't be a stay-at-home husband. He can be a stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
If there's no kids, you got to make some money. But if you want to stay at home and take care of the kids, do the cleaning, do the cooking. Oh, my God. Yes, please.
I know, right? Who would say no to that?
I don't want to do I certainly don't want to be a stay-at-home mom.
No.
I will love my kids. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be at home with them all day.
Some people are built for it. And some people aren't.
Right.
I am in the category of people who are not. Like,
no
period.
Doubt. It was nice to see and just mashing the little cake.
Oh gosh, it's so cute. When at the end, she says, we got to get going on this. And the little girl goes, yeah.
So I
cute.
Know.
So cute.
She's trained well.
Oh, so cute. And then of course, cut to Teresa involving Gia
and
Gabriella in like, it's like, stop doing this. You are poisoning the well. You are causing them. And Louis speaking on shit that he has no right to be speaking on.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling other women insecure. First of all, no. Number one.
Right.
Number two.
And don't call
her
a liar either.
Yeah. I just
who the fuck do you think
disgusting.
You are?
Disgusting. He does nothing but support her delusions and he's fucking disgusting.
He's,
I hope he hears
this.
And it's fuck you, Louis.
It's wild to watch though because it's like you see so Teresa starts that out with like yeah, this was uncomfy but we came to a good resolution.
Yeah.
And then but because she has poisoned the well so much, the you know, it's an echo chamber of well, like Gia doesn't want them all to get back together.
No, Gia needs a reason to be pissed. Gia looks like she's always pissed all the time, constantly.
Yeah. The only thing good about Gia in this episode was when she's like, hey, this salad's really good. Do you want some?
Yeah.
And Teresa's like, no, I got to lose 10 pounds before the wedding. And Gia's like,
it's salad.
It's salad.
Gia's so beautiful.
So that was Gia, funny. The problem with Gia, too, is she goes back to her dad and her uncle not liking her dad for treating his mother like shit. You know, and her dad got her mother in a world of hurt and got her sent to prison.
In prison.
But Joe G is the problem. And you're not going to tell me that Joe G and Melissa, they were on there saying those things about how they helped the kids eat and do all that. I'm not saying they were the sole caregivers for them, but you're not going to tell me that they weren't there to help.
Right.
And that they weren't helping their grandparents.
The only time we saw them was when we were filming. Okay, so?
Yeah, and that's your choice, too.
You film all the fucking
time. Right! It's literally your fucking job.
And what Melissa was saying in the clip that they played of the podcast, I don't even need to listen to the whole thing to hear what the clip was. Mm-hmm. She's saying, we showed up to film with him so that he could make money to feed them.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't show up, no one would be filming.
Right.
Because it's awkward to just film depressed kids and their fuck up dad.
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Well, no camera crew's going to show up to film a bunch of underage kids just at all.
Right.
I mean, some film crews might.
This isn't the real kids.
Those are,
but they get arrested.
Yeah, but you don't want to. You don't want them coming around. Wait, well, yeah. I don't know what I just said there, but it sounded offensive. And if it did, okay. But yeah, I think that I'm just being stupid, Caitlin. I just think that
it's almost 7:30. It's time for my bed.
Teresa is, that goes back to her delusions that she wants to think that she is this great person, and now that her parents are gone, she's the matriarch of the family, and everyone has to kiss the ring.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
And they're not going to do
that. Well, that's a cultural thing. In that family, that's a cultural thing. But
and the other Italian families agreed with, like, the culture is this, the culture is that. But she wants to have her cake and eat it too. She wants to be the center of everything, but also doesn't want to do any of the obligations that come with being the center of everything.
She wants to be a walking contradiction.
But I think what makes it easier to deal with the Teresa stuff is to know that we all know that she's crazy. We all know that she's delusional. We all know that she's a liar. And so does everybody watching.
Yeah.
But we tune in for the train wreck. So it's kind of nice to know that,
it's just.
There are a lot of Teresa stands out there, which I'm sorry. I'm not calling you guys stupid, but.
Well, I'm calling.
Well, I'm just going to say.
I'll call
them
stupid. I will.
You guys are fucking stupid.
I watched a little bit of Watch What Happens Live, and they asked, his name was Matt Rogers. I don't know who he is, but he was there. And they asked him, whose side are you on, Jen or Margaret?
Mm.
And he said, anybody who's on Jen's side, please seek treatment.
Right.
And that's how I feel about anybody who's a Teresa stan. Please seek treatment. Thank you.
Listen, we're not trying to offend, but we're just letting you know you need some fucking help.
We care. Missing up
help us help
you're
you.
You're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, help us help you.
It's not that we're speculating that she lies and is delusional. She will literally, in one scene, in part of a conversation, she'll start the conversation saying one thing.
Yeah.
And if somebody else gives her an idea, it's like she's watched a movie, and then she comes back 5 minutes later with a completely contradictory statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild to watch Melissa go to do the shopping thing with Danielle, not Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it's so hard to watch this because I come from the other side and, it's the sister-in-law's fault. We blocked each other on Instagram. And, you can see Melissa, she's processing that. And she's like, I'm sorry. You're comparing 15, 20 years of history and drama, stints in prison to, she told me that her wedding wasn't all about her and she blocked me and we blocked each other on Instagram. Yeah.
I think there's way more to that story that Danielle, not Jonas, isn't telling.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure, but you can't, that's apples and oranges. If you're going to tell a story, you got to tell the whole fucking story.
But I do have to say that Danielle, not Jonas, is right. Jackie do be being judgy. She do be judgy. Yeah. She be judgy.
Oh, yeah.
I will speak on this from a brother and sister relationship and dealing with things. from personal experience and having an issue with a sister-in-law and, you know, a family and everything else, the biggest thing that's going to fix it is if the two of them have a genuine conversation.
Correct.
Because there is so many other outside influences in their life, mm-hmm. and they have to sit down and talk to each other and decide who they're going to listen to. Are they going to listen to each other, or are they going to continue to let the bullshit happen? And like I said, that's from personal experience with me and my sister, and learning and having a genuine conversation to talk to be able to address the rest of the bullshit as a united front. And that's what we do now.
Look, it's not always going to be perfect with, like, your mother, Caitlin. Her and I are best friends, right?
Yeah.
But it hasn't. It wasn't always like that. You know, we had this a period, you know, right before your uncle and I got married, and then afterwards where, you know, her and I were just tight. She was my maid of honor, the whole nine, right? And then stuff happens, and then you end up not being that way. And years go by, and the only thing that actually does repair it is truth and honesty and actual real conversations. It's not all about somebody's not letting me or they're not trying. It's like, you guys have to do this together. It's not one and the other. It's both of you at the same time.
Well, I think it boils down to just a couple of things. You know, when you're family, you don't always like each other, but you have to always love each other.
Sure.
That's number one. And then number two, you've got to just talk, have the genuine conversations. Yeah. And, you know, Teresa's not going to do that.
No.
And also, and sometimes maybe you don't have to talk. Maybe you just, but well, no, what I'm saying is, like, you know, everything that happened with, like, you know, me and my brother, like, we're never going to talk about it. We're just going to get further away from the awkwardness. Because some things aren't big enough that you have to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of things. There's a lot of things you don't have to talk about.
Because like the blocking each other on Instagram thing. Okay, follow each other back and move the fuck on. If there's more, there's more.
Right.
But if that's actually what it is,
then fix it.
The easiest way for her to fix that is to unblock him and just wait and see what happens. If that's truly the only thing that happened. I'm sure it's not.
You don't
call her a mega bitch. So I'm
you
sure
don't
there's
lose
more there.
A relationship like that over that.
Let's get this right. Big sister, and I know you're listening.
If
you were able to do anything on Instagram as far as videos and everything
else,
I would absolutely make fun of you if they were funny. I'm just saying, if you were trying to do those videos, I would absolutely give you shit.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, it is what it is. Yeah. And you may block me, and it's fine.
She's not going to block you. She doesn't know how to block you. It's fine.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to block you.
You know what we can do, though? We can take a break.
We made the same joke at the same time. Oh, wait. Before we do that, we've got to talk about those videos. She clearly is like a fame-thirsty woman. Obviously,
oh,
not
it made
my mom,
me laugh.
The,
I laughed.
Danielle, not Jonas.
Danielle, not Jonas.
I laughed. I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? And so she's like, it's going to be interesting to watch how she handles she might actually become like one of the first season housewives that doesn't make it to second season because she's such a train wreck.
Fingers crossed.
Definitely a fame whore. That's why she's probably
That's why she's there.
She has tracked this show and became friends with the one person that needed a friend to try to get into it. And that's Teresa. Come on. The other ones that have friends and everything else, they're one of many friends. But come on, she went and said, I'm going to go be friends mm-hmm. with her. I'm going to get Teresa. I'm going to find her in a supermarket. I'll become mm-hmm. friends with her, mm-hmm. and that'll be my end.
Good for her.
Because she's going to get burned by Teresa eventually.
Oh,
everyone does.
Louie's going to end up.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for that. Anyway, let's take a break, and then we have so much to talk about. I'm so glad. Okay, sorry.
So are we taking a break?
Yeah, we're taking a break. Okay. We're taking a break.
See, I'm wise enough to know when a clip needs clipping. And I got just the one. And this week our clip is second to none. It's the clip of the week. Clip of the week, yeah. It's the clip of the week. Ooh. Clip of the week, yeah.
Clip.
You fool.
What's happening, guys?
How are you?
How's everyone?
How are we doing?
You guys want to make a green apple martini?
Of course.
Yeah?
Awesome.
Yeah, every time I go out with this group, bunch of guys, you know, I'm just gonna have one.
Watch what happens.
Beningo's here. His AARP card runs out at 7 o'clock.
What's up, baby? Good seeing you, man.
What's happening?
She changed my shirt 3 times.
Dude, seriously? She still dresses you?
Yeah.
Come on, you dress yourself?
I do.
I don't.
Joe's not.
Can I get a Bombay Sapphire and tonic with olives?
Absolutely. Joe Gorga.
You there?
I'm pulling up. I'm walking in.
We're upstairs, man. We're waiting for you.
Upstairs?
Yeah, bro. They gave us these high tables. I asked them not to because I don't think you can reach.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
There's no getting a string cheese for you.
Why?
Because people complain about that in the past, about you eating
I don't give a fuck.
Oh, you wanted a string cheese?
Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I do love a string cheese. I like cookies, too.
We're back. Okay. Eating cookies. See, I can't have string cheese, but he can have cookies.
Yeah, because watch this. Let me see.
What?
Well, hang on. 1 second.
Oh, boy.
Oh, cookies sound good.
They are good.
Oh, he turned his microphone off so he could chew. All right. So, Olivia is a vibe all day, every day. Like, I don't know if she's just like this because the camera's there or what, but yes. I love it.
She is like that.
She's in her nightgown. She's like, I'm a kid. I can do what I want.
Yeah. It's, she's hilarious.
She's so great.
Keep your confidence, lady.
Yeah,
keep
that
your confidence. It's amazing. And I want you to have it because with the thunder cunt of a mom that you have, your life is going to get more difficult.
No fucking doubt. Yeah, she, I wish Jennifer had like as much, like a quarter of the personality that her daughter does.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, she gets it all from Bill. She has to.
Well, I don't know. She must get it from a teacher or something.
She must get it from her nanny.
Yeah, it's the nanny. Without a doubt.
Bill was absolutely afraid to tell Jennifer the truth.
That was hilarious.
Cut to him being like, and then when he's like, "You want the truth?" He like she said, he's always like, "Blah blah 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 blah," and then of course, when he said what she wanted him to say, she stopped him. That's good. Yeah, I'm saying the one.
I know. Yeah, she's like, "This is a yes or no question." And he's like, "Okay, yes."
I will say I do say that to your uncle a lot, but it's only because usually it's a yes or no question, and he doesn't either.
Yeah, I think most women say that to most men.
Yeah.
Regardless of marital status.
Bill was extremely frustrated and did not want to come up with his idea of paying his children to do chores either.
At least not $14 an hour. I was like, shit.
He was like, whoa, can we come down off of that, please?
His face was like, this was not approved. Not approved.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't believe in the idea that you should pay your kids to do chores.
Oh, I don't know about that.
If you're going to teach them lessons on money and income and how to make money, then you need to have a ledger sheet to charge them to pay their bills so that they can get the idea of money has expenses.
Oh, so
well.
If you're going to pay them to clean,
income and expense,
they'd pay their portion of the utility bill, the groceries,
yeah,
the
teach
cable,
them all of
the
it.
Internet.
If you're going to pay your 9-year-old, 10, 11-year-old children to $14 an hour to do household chores,
I don't know if I agree with you.
Then I think you need, I'm not saying you charge them massive amounts, but a couple
charge
dollars here and there.
Charge them $14 an hour.
yeah. You charge them
$14
an hour.
There's probably a happy medium. Like,
yeah,
you know, hey, these are the chores you've got to do in if part of living here. Now, if you do these other few things, these things will earn you money because they're not part of the standard.
Yeah.
But there's probably a happy medium, and it also just depends.
Yeah.
You pay him $14 an hour, and then you charge them $16 an hour to live there. That's
there
how
we go.
We
That's
live
America.
Is that how we all live? You know, right?
I know who you voted for.
voted? Who votes?
Oh my God! I'm gonna go shoot myself in the face. No, I'm just kidding.
Speaking of shooting myself in the face, I'm not trying to be ugly, but Daniel,
Stop 1 second. I need to let you know something, wife, because you are the love.
I know what you're going
to
say.
You are the
Every
love of my
say,
life.
I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm being ugly.
Yeah, but you can't just say I'm not trying
no
to
offense.
Be ugly and then be ugly.
No offense.
No offense,
but all offense meant.
Yes.
Okay.
Daniel, not Jonas. I don't really give a fuck about your face.
No, me either. Not
I
yet.
Don't.
You got to earn that.
Like, your dad looks like he sells mattresses, and your kids are cute, but I'm kind of over it.
Okay, we'll say, hang on. In that moment, her reciting all of those artists. And
that was impressive.
Learned, that was cute that they let her do her little art show.
But I
they've
called
got
it before she
they
said
They got to try to humanize Danielle, not Jonas. That's why you saw, you know, her used car salesman dad. And the mom.
I liked her jacket, though.
Clearly doesn't. I liked his shirt, too, by the way.
Who, the mattress
the dad,
salesman?
The mattress dad.
Yeah, mattress dad.
So, yeah.
I liked her tutu.
And yeah, and then you're fighting with your brother because he said something you didn't like on Instagram, and you're trying to blame his wife, which you're the one that blocked him and probably said some pretty shitty things.
And you got mattress
to him.
Dad crying on national television.
Yeah.
I don't get
it. Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. Just weird. Because here's the deal. If you want me to be sympathetic for the situation that you find yourself in, you got to tell me the whole fucking situation.
Thank you.
The truth. I want the truth, not your version. Yeah.
Thank you.
And also, I hope you're not telling your son that if you marry a mega bitch, I'll poison her. I think that was a joke, and I hope that was a joke. But if not, your kid's going to have issues, lady.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on with that sense. A lot. A lot.
Yeah.
But you know, daughter did a very good job on her little art show.
Adorable.
And it was cute that her family was there for that. I could have done without the family. We don't talk.
I just don't care.
And like, but this was definitely evidence to us as to why she and Teresa are friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is because
they're trauma bonding.
Trauma bonding.
Look at me. She's not going to be friends with Teresa long. Teresa will stab her in the back on this show like she's done everyone else.
Yeah. Well, Teresa's probably going to hit her with Instagram is not the same.
Yeah. Danielle, not Jonas, is going to start to grow in popularity.
No, she won't.
She's going to exceed Teresa, and no, Teresa's going to do her. No, I'm just saying that's
Teresa's
going to
do her. All right.
No, Teresa, she's actually not going to get popular enough. So Teresa's going to have to move on to somebody more popular, but not more popular than Teresa.
Of course. Yeah.
Like Danielle Staub.
Oh, my God. Don't give me
that was like the perfect example of like,
ugh, I miss
somebody
her.
With just enough popularity to like.
What a villain.
Who?
Prostitution whore. Danielle Staub. Oh, you don't know.
No.
I got a question though.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
No, I was just quoting more Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh. Does vinegar expire?
Oh my God.
Does it?
I don't. That was so funny though that like she's looking at the bottle
after she puts it on. So you
like
know.
It doesn't matter now. You're gonna eat it.
It doesn't matter.
And,
like
and she like hears the door open and she's like, Ma, does vinegar expire? And it was just so funny.
If I may ask,
Just so you know, from the healthline.com.
Can you speak into the microphone, sir?
Shelf life and proper storage tips. The acidic nature of vinegar makes it a self-preserving pantry staple.
There you go.
Which means it generally never sours or expires.
There you go. Melissa, if you're listening, and I know that you are, you're safe. You can eat that vinegar.
You ate the vinegar wisely.
That's right. I love salt and vinegar potato chips. Do you love those?
Ew.
Dude, when you first open up the bag and it
I literally have a bag in my pantry that I bought for someone else.
Girl.
That I'm never going to eat. So they'll be here when you come
good.
Visit.
Good.
So I don't understand. I need you to, since you brought this up.
Oh my God, that means those potato chips will never go bad.
Wait a minute.
Salt
no,
and vinegar? Forget
no,
about it.
No. The potato chips will still go bad.
No.
The vinegar
won't. But once they're in the package, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
So so a question for you is, when you open those, why are you inhaling them like they're whippets? When you pop that bag and you shit it in deep breath real fast.
Pop that charcuterie.
Ew. Oh, my God.
pop, charcuterie. Pop, charcuterie, baby. Yep.
Oh, guess what we're doing tomorrow when I get home from work? We're recording a new charcuterie song just for Caitlin.
Oh, my God.
We'll debut on our next episode.
I'm being an adult.
But you know, when they were all sitting outside eating the salad and they asked the kids to leave, I'm like, that's how you do it. You don't bring up the grown folks' business in front of the kids. You don't involve them. Let them be kids. Let them not have this feeling of hatred towards people that they don't even need to be hating.
Well, and so then on the on Watch What Happens Live, Andy asked Melissa was like, hey, Teresa said she was hoping now that the kids are older that they'll hang out more now that they have their own cars and stuff. And Melissa's like, yeah, I'd love for that to happen.
Yeah.
But it's never going to happen if Teresa keeps involving her daughters in the shit. Like, it was definitely the right call. You know, they brought up the topic and realized the topic wasn't going to, like, she's like, I don't want to do this in front of the kids. So then they're like, all right, kids, bye.
It's
Melissa.
Funny.
Melissa definitely was hoping that they would just change the subject to not do it in front of the kids.
Yeah.
And they're like, kids, bye-bye.
So I had a range of emotions with the idea at first and not knowing all of the history. In my mind, I was like,
don't
well,
chew that box.
Teresa doesn't.
Hey. Sorry, go ahead.
Teresa does not have to invite the in-laws. And in a normal situation, your situation with your brother's wife, if you were to get married, not necessarily that you would have to invite her family.
Right.
And that's my general thought is I was like, why are they making a big deal out of this? And then they showed the clip where Melissa had interactions with Joe's dad and with a family. And I'm like, okay, so they've done things together as huge extended families and they've got to know them. At that point in time, it is respectful. I'm not saying you invite every one of Melissa's third cousins to come, but it is absolutely right. It is respectful to go, that's my brother's mother-in-law, and they had a relationship with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I should invite them. Because at weddings, you have two types of ceremonies. If you're going to have a small ceremony for immediate family, that is one thing. You have a small ceremony with immediate family. But the moment that you get your guest list up to 200 people plus, there's no reason you shouldn't invite people like that.
Well, they invited the Fudas, who they literally
just met.
Obviously, it's contractual, but either way, like, come on.
Even Mr. Fuda with the weird beard, he even said, well, that's a
Mr.
Fuda. Pretty big offer to invite us to their wedding. We literally just met them.
Right. Yeah.
So they met him at a pre-cast party or whatever.
Well, like I was trying to say, it's a weird thing to watch Melissa and Joey handle things like actual adults. Then you have Louis and Teresa who are reacting like literal children.
Well, and you even saw it boys' night. Like,
oh, yes, that's next.
All of the men were like, yeah, you got to invite the in-laws. What do you mean? Yeah. You didn't invite the in-laws?
They're like, that's fucked up, man.
Because, I mean, they do, especially for 20 years, like, because, you know, they shared grandkids and they all live within like a mile. Like, they all live so close to each other. So they were in each other's lives, even if it was just when the cameras are rolling. Mm-hmm. Guys, the cameras have been rolling more often in the last 10 years of your lives than they haven't been.
That's
so,
right.
And we're familiar with the Italian culture. We saw your sister's first husband. God. That wedding had 250 people that had every cousin underneath the sun. I've never met more Anthony's.
What a fucking shit show.
But I'm just saying, but that's that culture. When you get married, that's how it works. That's a great event. You're expanding the family no matter what, and everybody's there. And Teresa is so self-centered. She only wants people that are going to be at that wedding. They're going to fawn over just her. She knows that Joe's not going to, you know, I don't know.
It has nothing to do with that, I don't think.
No.
I think it is literally was just a, how can I hurt Joe? I can't not invite him. Because you know what? They probably, if it weren't going to be a cast event, I don't think she would have invited Louis or Joe to the wedding at all.
Well, he didn't go. But I maintain that Melissa's so much better looking than Teresa that Melissa would look better than her.
Yeah, that's what I said the other week. Like, I think that's the reason she's not in the wedding.
Oh, I'm backing that shit up. I agree with you.
Yeah, it just is a nightmare. But we get the saving grace of boys' night.
Oh, and Frank and his pledge apple night. Green apple martinis.
I know.
God, okay, it takes a real sexy man to order that.
So we
oh, God, Frank, yes.
We may have had a discussion towards the end of the show last week about the most whipped husband.
Who's the most whipped husband?
Hang on. I may have said Louis is a delusional whipped piece of shit.
Well, he is.
I mean, he's a piece of shit.
And delusional. Yeah. And Louis.
But Joe B, I tried to back you up, man. I tried to, bro. And I know you listen. I tried to. But you literally said you had to change your shirt 3 times before you went out to boys' night, and you told the bartender that you never met, you don't dress yourself. Bro.
Yeah, you know what? He's very secure in that. And I say, good for him.
So as soon as he said, she made me change my shirt 3 times, I was just like, oh, that's more than laziness. Because you tried to say it was just laziness.
And smart.
But 3 times, that's actually a lot of work.
Because if I put a shirt on for work and I ask Scarlett, how does this look? And if she just says, you should change, I still don't change 75% of the time. I like this one. I'm going to wear it anyways.
But it's like, noted. I appreciate your feedback. I will take that into consideration the next time I think about wearing this.
Yeah.
However, I am still going to leave in this outfit today.
Right. And I'm like, have a good day.
Yeah, but Joby obviously changed his, probably his pants too, and shoes.
Well, they all have to match.
Well, like, because, right.
You're Marge, you're Mrs. Marge, so you're representing her when you go out in public.
Mr. Marge.
And I was looking, I was like, yeah, he even got his eyes done because she asked him to. Because I was like, oh, I forgot that last week, but it got to come back up. So we're good.
So sweet. Yeah. God, you know, I just look at them and I'm like,
they love each other.
I love them. Yeah, they're so great. They're so great.
So what I love about this, and I'm going to give you a general conversation. Louie and Joe started to go at it hot.
Oh, boy.
But the difference between them or not is Joey, they may still leave and not like each other, but they're able to be heated in a conversation. Stop. And listen to each other and go on. Now, you look at Bill and Evan, and all these guys last season got heated, had some things they didn't like. They got together, had a few drinks, talked it out, and moved on.
Yeah.
That is one thing with these guys that I appreciate. Now, had Louie not been Teresa's wife, Joe G would be able to move on a lot faster. But because he's Teresa's wife and the shit that's happening there.
You mean husband?
Just because Louie is Teresa's wife. And all of that, they'll never be able to move on because Teresa won't allow it.
Well, yep.
Teresa is going to feed Louie some bullshit, mm-hmm. and Louie is not being objective to a conversation and refuses to believe that Teresa could be at fault. Mm-hmm. So every conversation that Teresa has, especially, I'm sorry, Caitlin, and with the kids involved and Gia and all of them.
Ugh, Gia. Gross.
In front of the kids, he's going to defend Teresa, and she is the victim. That is the environment that they're creating, even though...
It's an expectation they're setting.
They're creating a whole process. And Louis's gonna believe her till the end because he doesn't want to believe that the person he loves and wants to marry and spend the rest of his life
Halo
with...
Halo syndrome.
...is a terrible human being.
Halo syndrome.
Well, let me tell you. Joe's been pretty chill about the whole insecure thing because he hasn't seen it yet. So I think he's like, he was upset about it. Melissa was upset about it, but they're probably like, maybe Marge is delivering the message wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when they see that coupled with a couple days later, they're going to see him calling Melissa a liar. Mm-hmm. Like, not even saying she's lying. He said she's a liar.
Right.
And the shit that he said about Joe. Whatever hope that there was is going to be gone.
Listen,
whatever progress they make on this, you know, phone call where he's writing notes for Teresa to repeat
coaching.
Because I think probably behind closed doors, he's more critical of Teresa. And I think it seems like behind closed doors, he's willing to be a man.
Yeah.
But he definitely knows that his role in order to be in her life, his role in public is to back up every little thing that she says and not contradict her and play the role of the, you know, complete opposite of Joe Giudice.
Yeah. Well, you know, what hurts me is because, like, when Joey was like, I don't even know if I want to talk to her, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to know if I go have a conversation with my sister or whoever, that it's only going to cause me more heartache. It's not going to fix anything. It's going to cause more heartache for me because I know exactly how she's going to respond. I know exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, he's just tired. There comes a point when you can't try anymore because you're just going to spend the rest of your life trying and not doing anything else. It's too much.
Yep. Yeah, I respected his honesty.
Yeah.
In that moment. I don't want to get hurt again. I don't even know. He just wants it to
stop.
It
broke my heart. It broke my heart. It was hard to watch. It was breaking my heart.
Do you want to know?
He's tired of being told he's the problem. Yeah. You know, there can be no compromise about, you know, accepting responsibility.
Do I want to know what?
What else was hard to watch? Bill trying to get involved.
Yeah.
Like, he was trying. Sir, take notes from everyone else. Who's just sitting back and letting this happen and just making sure that nobody hits each other.
When Joe B even piped in, I was like, oh, shit. Whoa.
Well, yeah, Joe B made the comment about it's you have to invite the in-laws. I think that's what
I was
that
like,
conversation
damn, Joe
was.
Joe B don't say nothing.
I'm telling you.
They're all pretty, feel pretty strongly about it.
But you also think about it.
Louis changed after they were like, yeah, man, when he saw nobody was going to back him.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they're like, how many people do you have at the wedding? And that's, for me, that's what it goes to.
Well,
I'm not saying that you have to invite them every time. You don't. You don't have to do it.
Right.
But if you're going to have a huge public spectacle wedding with 200 plus guests, what literally is two more invitations?
Well, when Joey asked about the bachelor party, and he's like, why? And I was like, whoa, that was an unproportional response. Like, woo.
I would have asked it. I would have said why the exact same way. Because
they're all talking about a bachelor party. So he's like, hey,
yeah, but what Joe was asking was alluding.
I know what
Louis,
he was doing.
Louis was smart enough to know there was no right answer to that question because Joe, I like,
it was hostile,
like, I'm never,
Caitlin. It was
like,
hostile.
I don't, what?
It was hostile. He came
in. Oh, yeah. But I'm saying I get why he was hostile because I would have been in that situation too. Don't ask me that question. Ask me what you're really trying. And that could be the lawyer in me. When I can tell you're getting at something, no. What question did you come in here to ask me? Yeah. What do you want to ask? Say it.
Yeah.
Don't beat around the bush. I'm not going to fall. Because, like, that's how you cross-examine someone. Little bite-sized questions until you can get them wrapped up in their story. And that's exactly what Joe was doing. And he didn't have a good intention there.
Yeah.
And Louis picked up on it right away.
Maybe
so,
you're right. I just didn't like it. I just like, oh, shit.
I'm sorry, so you...
here we go.
So you're defending Louis.
No.
In this moment, I hate to say it. Yes.
I mean, I actually agree.
Well,
with
we
you.
Have been the Real Housewives of Reality. This is our final episode.
I'm not a huge fan of Louis either, but I will say him and Joe started to get heated, and I will congratulate Joe and him both.
Oh, it was a lot.
Because they were both ready to go at it toe to toe, and I think they both realized where they were after Joe punched the table, and even Louis saw it, and Louis rolled back to help Joe roll back. And Joe recognized Louis rolling back. So Joe, I think both of them did a great job with some conflict resolution. And I think honestly,
naked in the wood training right there.
That is naked in the woods training. But I do believe that particular moment, Louis did great to work on de-escalating Joe to not just end the conversation and walk away and leave it that way, but to just try to talk a little bit more.
Well, because he started to elevate it.
He did. I was shocked.
Because he was like, stop with the dramatics.
Yeah, that's not like Louis. I love it.
And Joe responded with, this isn't dramatic. This is how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what triggered Louis to realize, oh shit, this wasn't, he understood that wasn't for the cameras. That's how he feels.
Yeah.
Which means we got to roll it back. And then he rolled back. Like you said, everybody did a really good job of like, we're not getting kicked out of a restaurant. We're not the women.
So my thought process is if you look at everyone sitting at that table this evening with Bill and Big Frank and Joe and Joe B and the two new guys and Evan was there and Louis, the idea that Joe or anything else when he's having these feelings and these conversations is doing it for the camera, I think that they are so used to that camera in their life that they're if they're starting to get heated, they're no longer stopping. So we used to watch, OP Live, or it used to be called Live PD, and every time a new police department would come on there, we'd be like, wow, these guys are pretty awesome and everything else.
They were minding their P's and Q's.
But after a few weeks of that, the comfortability of that camera being there, you begin to see their true nature. And the emotional person that Joe G is, I remember just three seasons ago watching it for the first few times and how everything for him with his relationship with Melissa was, I have to appear like I'm the man on camera, and his masculinity was always at the forefront. And even Big Frank was that way. They still have some.
Well, I don't think that was about the cameras. I think it's just they've worked.
Insecurity in general.
That's his insecurity, but that's his conscious effort in front of the cameras.
It's a cultural thing.
But he wanted to show that image of I'm a masculine man.
Sure.
Because that's what he had his guard up.
I don't know. I disagree because I think if that was an in front of the cameras thing, I think we would have seen different reaction from Melissa. Like, where the fuck is this coming from? But I think he was always like that. I think after about two or three seasons, you're like, oh, the cameras are on. Like, I think after, you know, as much time, I think three seasons is probably.
Yeah. It's when, a good litmus test. Yeah.
Then you're like desensitized to the fact that there's this camera crew around you because you have to be. Otherwise, you wouldn't come back for it.
Right.
Right. And that's what I mean. They take and they let their guard down and they are who they actually are. And who knows? I think some of that was reactions with Melissa and the struggles that they had might have been because of that. Because obviously when Envy started and was starting to grow, he would make those comments about her not working and everything else.
Yeah.
But now he's very, you don't ever hear those conversations about how she doesn't need to do it because she's successful with it.
Well also, because she worked hard to get him to understand what she was doing. But we just, not to change the subject a little, but we just haven't talked enough about it being called Pledge Night.
They're stupid.
They're so dumb.
I loved every second of that. And then Fuda showing up with adult diapers, Pepto and Tums.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That was hilarious. And then
Big Frank is like, I need all of these things.
Thank
right
you.
Now.
Can I just take the bag back with me?
God, I love like, him.
Oh my God. I'm honestly disappointed that no one got carried out of there.
Well, we don't know yet.
They're still there.
We still have next week.
Oh, they're still there?
Yeah, they're still there.
They ended the show with them not leaving. They were still sitting in that bar when we were
there. Oh. We were
there. This
we still
might,
got time, baby girl. We still got time.
This might be when Bill's bear crawling somewhere.
No, that's on the deck somewhere, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're going to have another. There'll be more.
A shore party or something.
Bill won't get drunk in public, but if he's at somebody's house on the shore, he's going to get tore up from the floor up.
Yeah. Which is funny because it's all public because there's a camera crew.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's just Bill. You know, he's.
He definitely showed up high.
Oh, he's definitely stoned.
Oh,
for sure.
Like he walks in and he's just like, hi. And he was definitely high during that conversation with Jennifer, too. Maybe not.
No, but he looked tired, though.
He did look tired. I'm like something in his eyes. I was like, this man hates everything he's doing right now.
He looked annoyed as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
And he's
God.
Like trying to teach his kid how to do the dishes. And he's like, there's a water shortage.
Yeah. Tell your mom.
I was just like, oh my God. But he walked in like ready for war. Cause of course, Joe starts ordering everybody shots. I was just so funny.
He's a frat boy.
He is a frat boy. And the house husbands are his frat brothers. It's and the they truth. All love it.
It's the truth. Yeah. We love it too. We love I wish there was just a show with just them. Can we just have a show with them?
I want a boy. No, because I just think they should make Jersey a little longer, like the season a little bit longer, and give us some husband centric episodes.
I would love that. I would love
sprinkle
that.
Sprinkle them in.
Yeah. Like a boys trip, a boys weekend.
I know.
Please.
That'd be so fantastic.
Bravo. I know you're all listening to
us. Yes, we know you are.
Oh my God. No, not Ultimate Girls Trip anymore.
Ultimate Guys Trip.
Let's do Ultimate House Husbands Trip.
Ultimate Boys Trip.
And get the husbands from different
Mauricio,
franchises.
Get Mauricio.
Yeah, we've definitely said this before, and they haven't listened to us, and I'm just not sure why.
I want to see who smokes more weed in a trip, Mauricio or Bill.
Mauricio.
Oh, Mauricio.
For sure. For sure.
Mauricio smokes more weed in a day than Bill does in a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, because he can. I mean, he's not a plastic surgeon.
That's true.
You can get high and sell a house. You cannot get high and do plastic surgery. I mean, you can.
You can.
I would not recommend it.
Would you? Should you?
Yeah. Would you? You can also get high and do a podcast. Ask the people that leave reviews.
Yeah, well, you're always
high. They don't know because they don't know shit.
Yeah, I'm always high. Anyway. Yeah. Sorry. Did we miss anything? I wasn't going to talk about that.
Yeah, you said, you did. Week. Let's talk about this for a minute. You did say, I'm never going to talk about these again.
Yeah, and I say it every week.
Yeah, every week you bring up another one. It just gives them more ammo to be honest.
Another one.
You know, we just did another one. You guys want to do this again next week?
No.
Maybe.
No, I really have, I'm to the point where I,
I clearly don't really want to be around.
Then let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh my God, that was so good.
You know why, Caitlin? You know why it was so good?
Why?
Because
we're amongst a superstar.
That's me.
We're amongst a superstar. Just saying.
Oh, it was me.
You heard it here last, guys.
Hey. Yeah, no doubt. This will be our last episode.
Relax.
Same time next week.
Relax. Act natural. Yeah.
Same time next week.
Same great time. Same
great channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Bye. Right.
Love you. Bye.
Go, Junkie Girls!
I am not going to the weak side of the ice because I lied about my body weight.
You're a sloppy chihuahua!
I think you're the one emasculating.
husband's in the book.
I'd be praying for you, though.
Not bragging, honey. I'm the best of the best. That is, period. Dot.
Shut up. I got a dinner reservation, honestly.
A PFT Media production.